the top and it's 2.5. It has been assumed that the national waste compensation for three salaries and 0.3% of the number is given by the national trade union. Now the NDP is not in charge of the HSBC and maybe I'm going. I think that it is good that the NDP is aware of the risk. It may, in the end, result in waste tax. And I really need to know how is the department going to do it.
Thank you, Nancy. The first question about why is the metro and the rural services have a similar reduction? I'm particular about how is when you approach budgeting, engage with a lot of managers to understand their reality and how they will work with us to make final decisions. Ultimately, unless that kind of ownership in the budget, we will not be able to achieve the impact that we wish to achieve for the budget. So that was part of this process to engage on this matter. So on that, you will notice that ACMA is 6% cut, top growth. And as I previously indicated, that is really the department that took a decision to cut more in ACMA and then push whatever to reduce the cut in the rest of the system. I'm going to ask you, Peter, because you were confronting me about the engagement of the service line manager, the engagement of all services. The engagement of the line manager, what are the arguments ultimately lead to this point? You can give a bit more detail on that. The second question was on the HIV and both questions on cutting the national conditional grant. So this is a national conditional grant. And we are at the receiving end of national decisions. And my understanding is that the grant has been the whole health sector has been cut. So also the national economy grant, and so also what is available for conditional grants. So the grant then, what we have received is a reduction of 113 million from the department side. We added in 82 million just to help us to partner. And we've also negotiated with National Department of Health for some donation stock in terms of methods to at least 40 million to help us to come through the year. So we have also, when we relooked at the grant configuration, we had to reduce a lot of aspects of the equipment just to cut down on people. So what we are under pressure. Universal test and treat is a particular national policy, and the funding is limited for us to be able to get there. But what we want to do is invest more intervention part to prevent people from getting AIDS, and that is where our focus has been. And then the question was about the salary increase. So both the top two paragraphs of that page 2-5 speaks about how does we approach the budgeting process. Because myself, I've got a lot of experience and insight. And these experiences within the environment show that it's highly likely that the VAT will increase. So before it was announced, we need to take a rather be conservative and a provision for the 1% we just pop up. The same with the salary negotiation. So the salary negotiation has not yet concluded. What we read is that it might again be higher than what naturally gives us as an inflator to work with. So in our calculations, then we said, let us get 0.3%, which is my new percentage point for the individual worker, but from a budget perspective, that's a massive amount of money. So that is where the 0.3% came from as a mechanism to protect the department against national decisions, which is completely out of our control. Dr. Pretty, just on the distribution.
Thank you, Michelle. Just to explain how we went about doing this. you could explain my liberties and why somebody else would give up more money than you. So what we've done deliberately in this process is to make it a collective decision by bringing all the managers that are responsible for the different parts together. The principle that we came up with is we need to say which are the areas that we feel in the system need to be protected more than others. But we cannot have a massive cut in one place and a very small cut in another place and then destabilize the entire system. So it was really about even pace, but collectively understanding what it is. So it was very strong as a service manager's reach, importantly. So that's close to the entire event, close to rural network, everybody together, of cutting all of this. Our big feeling was, as I think it says, that there must be a disproportionate cut for admin as opposed to service. So that's why the people think it's much higher than the rest. But in services, our feeling was that primary care must be more protected than a highly specialized hospital. That's why you see a difference of 0.5% in primary care and 1.8% in rural care. And then we made in that whole discussion, there should be recognition here that the rural has got specific challenges when it comes to being far spread and thinly spread, when in the metro people are closer together and can be spread. So there must be an additional factor considered. What happened is, in that whole deliberation, that's why you see the forensic pathology almost then came out equivalent in primary care. So we felt that the forensic pathology must be protected like primary care. What then came up in the end is that the pressures of the system was a factor that you can't wish away the existing pressures. And where we see in this financial year, the metro has significant pressures in this year. So we put all of those factors together. That is the configuration we came up with. I mean, as people are generally comfortable that everybody shares the responsibility collectively, on the understanding that as we go forward, we develop a little bit more sophisticated tools by looking at the real data, looking at all the things that we've got. So we started a process to start saying how much money are we actually spending for every pocket and every community in the province. And then over a period of time, maybe in the years time, we start making more informed decisions about what is the real equity and what is the kind of things we want to do. And also that this design process that I spoke earlier about starts taking effect in the way that we do things. So it's more a process of people collectively owning. And one person observed that in the past we used to get more money, but we were more unhappy because we mistrusted the other person. Now we get less money, but we are happier. Because you all collectively understand one another's reality and you work in the same foundation.
Thank you.
see the evidence in that table. I would also like to indicate from number 10, if you look at that Matthew 10 table, you see over the years, we started off in 1450 with 31,200 staff members. In 2015-16, 31,360 staff members. 2017, 31,368. So you can see that there has been a gradual increase despite the fact that at the time we also had budget cuts. So what is the question? To what extent can it bring in more efficiency to release money into the space of more stock? What is excluded in the agents? So we try also to use relies on agents to push more stock. So there's a lot of creativity that is happening in the management team to say, is it possible for us to do so? There's also, at the provincial level, certain efficiency projects that are put in place so that if we can get those going, it might also give them more space for stock numbers. So it is a reality, it's a discipline. We have indicated from our calculations what the impact will be, and we will monitor the impact as we go forward. As previously indicated, the big impact, if you look at where the cuts have been budgeted upon, is largely at the head office in terms of ATM, but also in the rest of the system, also in ATM, in the supporting systems. And you also see that in your larger, your complex hospitals, where there was a larger budget upon a reduction, but the intervention to protect primary health. So that's been a common theme, to protect primary health. And if you go further on, you notice that we have increased allocations into community care, because that is where the investment is actually.
Thank you. Chairperson, the sentence is about the redesign of primary health care services, and my question there is, please explain the objective or goal of this redesign.
By doing things differently than we currently are doing.
So that's the objective. And mainly it is about having a focus that people should become healthier and are able to maintain their own health rather than be dependent on a system which is designed to be healed. So that's the basic premise. And therefore our system itself needs to also shift in how it manages illness, because we would like to manage illness more on an outpatient basis, on an ambulatory basis, and work with our patients and our community, that being healthier is a better option to actually work with the system. So that's the objective or the goal of the system. How we go about it is what is described a little bit as one example. So the example you see in the text is, and I spoke to some of my colleagues over Tita, is we actually went and we took the highly paid endocrinologist that looks at all the complicated diabetic cases that goes here. And his history is in the runs a diabetic clinic. Because he's so highly paid, complicated cases get him first and he sees them there. We took that endocrinologist and we said, with the doctors, the specialists that worked in Victoria, we want you and them to come meet with the community members and the people working in the retreat-day hospital. And what they did is they took five community members from health committees that happened to be also diabetic patients. And they spent about 3 or 4 days to understand what the diabetic patient actually requires. And they got in a company, they went to the retreat, they see what it's like to sit and wait and get your appointments. They went to Victoria and they went to the diabetic clinic. And the idea was to rethink how we manage diabetes for people coming from that area. That is acknowledged. Made a presentation to us 2 weeks ago to say that he thinks that it should be managed in a completely different way. It's about actually opening the space for people. And he was very much informed by a community member that is a diabetic patient, that is our community member in the team, of what that system should be like. So that is what we are talking about when we talk about the lean time process.
Thank you. You are only talking in this paragraph of the subject now. While we are sitting with our own central of Kabul, with a massive book of Kabul, nothing is mentioned here about COVID and that area. And also, nothing about reckoning in the race, because we also have talking to South Africa. So I think we need to look beyond the city of Cape Town, people who are planning and stuff. Can I press 2 to 7 at the bottom? The revitalization of prevention and permanent health, primary health care, and that we consider to be the most critical services to improve the health status of the population have been reduced the least. Now my question on this is of Chairperson. Give us a more breakdown of what kind of services we're talking about and also the impact on the most needy, the poorest of the poor people in this province. What is the impact on the
service when medicine service of the overall
health impact on the population has been reduced to the most, has been reduced the most. And my question there is, what services are this that the department is talking about?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Part of the 1.5 billion of the HIV grant
account is 96 million for the community outreach service compound, so that's what I'm saying. This is the first year that the same amount of money as a conditional grant, and that's just had another line with grants from other parts. We didn't get more money, but this is just 96 million of new money. It's the same money with a different tag. And that's what the request is, that we didn't dedicate to make sure that this money is being spent on community outreach. It's for our country. All provinces did receive this dedicated amount. And I think the critical thing nationally was to make sure that we do invest. So fortunately, we've already invested this. This for us is just a confirmation of what we have been doing all along. Then the question was about the HPV, that is the European Coronavirus Vaccine Grant. So up till now, the funding for HPV was part of what was previously known as NHI grant. So that grant recognition is not there anymore. So that's fallen away, but they kept this aspect of HPV to go forward. That's why we started this year, but we've already had HPV programs in the department going on, and then the outer years will be guaranteed for our understanding of the HPV grant, because it is a multi-year grant. Then the EPWP, Mrs. Parrish, would you perhaps just respond on this?
This EPWP,
I think it's
year by year. What we have is done about is simply the pressure that has been. So the question also was, is that HPV funding secure, commitment for the future years? Yes, it is on an allocation basis already from Treasury, so to that extent it is. But the EPWP received year on year, it has not yet been allocated, but it is normally allocated this year.
And I can see there was a question about the Global Fund. So, in the row that talks about transfers received, funding departmental receipts, what we noticed there that the large proportion of those transfers received has been the Global Fund. And they have a particular program that ran a few years and they know whether they can get the funding going forward. So the major increase for 1819. 159 million shows a 91% increase. It's largely the new allocation of the Global Fund. Now, Mr. Ricardo Kukula is the manager for the Global Fund, and then particularly if Mr. Ricardo could have just responded to the question of how did we deal with the closing off of the previous Global Fund? What has been the impact and what is the new Global Fund feedback. He is the financial manager for the fund. So you could dedicate capacity to the party, because the Global Fund was one very much stimulus reporting in terms of the got establishment. We got the money already, and that is when we've got the system and the processes. And Kakuna, which is not here at the moment, she's the director, and a big chunk of her responsibility is in this space.
So, please stay with me, because it is very important. The question why I'm asking this is to get the a high turnout understanding of this. And of the woman assistant of the faculty. Now, how will the funding be able to utilize this fund? Will it happen through NGOs? Will it happen through the health committees? What systems will it put in place?
Just to complement that, it's not the, it's all of it we were getting the money back in the 3 years ago. So for this one, so much money is another. So already there are systems in place in terms of managing the cost. The only difference for this one now, and actually for the whole country, I guess, the only difference for this one, for the Western Cape, we got additional for the hotspot mapping, and the young women and girls one on the women of work where it has got the identification centers attached. So the tools are already in place in terms of doing that. As you indicated that when it comes to the donor fund, they've got their own the data reporting system where it's required in terms of a match stone that also demanding the also. So what I'm trying to assure you is that we are, it's a continuation of what we've been doing before. But for example, the whole body, the primary school, and other schools, they've always been there. And what we call the community ones, community, where you with the community organizations, those have always been there. But what we're trying to now to ensure is about the new additional ones that Western Cape was given on the basis that they have got the systems in place. And this girl, you know, because it's a clinical trial, I think it's six other sites across global where they want to make sure about that. If they want, then it becomes more intense. But the rest, it's about continuing doing the social work, continuing to do the writing class. The other thing that is new for us is the men's dialogue. The teenage parents plus their parents have engaged in dialogue. The protective service for the abuse. So these are the ones that are including the 19 to 24 year old, which is the women of work. But for in terms of the expenditure, we define that the only difference that we keep on rolling over is because at the time that we receive the grant. So you might, when you apply, it might well say from 15, 3 years. But instead of that, we need it on the 1st of April 2016. Instead, the money we receive is probably in November, and therefore we keep on pushing the first. But what I know is that for the upcoming ones, after 2019, so they keep on changing. It will be influenced on the data that they are collecting worldwide in terms of influence. What is it for next so that they want to remember? Even with the PEPFAR, USAID, how they the funding in South Africa, they pulled out most of it. And now we are covered, there's money generally, we go to the school. Same as the province, we're going to the Pongo now, no money in the Western Cape, no money whatever. Oh, we're going
7 months fee. And the main procreation 1819 is 845. So that is actually a reduction. That percentage change column refers to the revised estimate compared to the appropriation in 1819. But it is important to note that that is largely, there is an increase from the revised estimate. We had to pay more out in terms of medical leave claims. Maybe double that last year, so it is an increase, and that is in program by the plate on there. And then also we received additional funding to for our e-vision, our IT systems and solutions. So that is making up a large proportion of that.
I'm on page 232 under relating infrastructure. Maintenance and repairs should be a mere increase of 10%. I just want to understand, is it normal to budget such a little amount for maintenance and repairs?
Cheaper rate, more efficient. situation is such that the contract is one contract and a nicer contract, which is very similar to what the PPP does. It's just under the PPP complexity. So we are in the process. We have already put out some tenders, 10 aspects that must be taken for, that will be concluded by the end of this month. And then we will then decide in June how we're going to deal with the exit strategy of this PPP. But we've learned a number of lessons, which are exciting in the department. Thank you.
Every year we get a list of the pipeline projects that are happening here. And I need to acknowledge all projects that will be affected here and if there will be new timelines for that project.
Summary of Department of Public Private Administration.
proposed projects, and I see where it goes down, the reduction, a decrease. So my question there is, what are the proposed projects that are going to be affected by the reduction?
My question on that I had on last month is because I want to understand if that will affect the kind of the projects that are already identified. That's what I wanted to understand.
Can you look again?
Was it going to do this area? I don't think it did. I did not see any upgrades in Southern.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's very clear that that population is growing and growing and growing. And every year, when they come to the party, I put them on the table that we need to go and have to be looking for the services. And every year, in the party, there's nothing.
Then you do?
Very bad.
Thank you, Jacob. I just want to find out with regards to the additional, I think it's the Lanesburg, that I think the HEB knows exactly the additional space that needs to be built. I don't see it.
Everything was there, you know exactly what is the problem. We can't continue with the service like that, for example. The standing commission was there, but every year there's no planning. The can't continue like that.
Spaces for patients to wait and be dropped off, and they are quite significant improvement.
then in one community employer, and then that body subcontracts and gets financial security and also access to building materials and so on. So we use that as a pilot collaborative project to see how we can get these two things better and just deal with the project and not get involved in others. So I am confident to say that the aid equipment, and but still remains a journey where there are commitment of culture.
Okay,
can we
move on?
Thank you.
antibiotic alcohol production, they change it. We also have these in a few emergency centers where we find it in Paul Hospital, in Magersfeld, and in Kaiser Hospital. We then, patients that come through in the trauma center that are then also intoxicated or have alcohol as part of their profile, they are then got brief motivational interventions to see if we can change the behavior, but we have the assumption that that person, the circumstances led that person to be in the emergency center and have alcohol. And what can we do to improve that situation? And this comes also in learning pilots to see to what extent those type of interventions do make a difference. And we received the first evaluation of that back, and it does show that if it was possible to have these brief motivational interventions, it does affect people's decisions about alcohol and it did not conflict. So this is early days, but that is the mathematical money. It is just to make sure that we can go on with the project and make sure that we stabilize that project. Then the question about to contain substructure. So the Carpentry Center that we refer to there, that is the center on the grounds of Freiburg Hospital, and they're largely doing the cochlear transplants. So this is part of a yearly project which we run at the department to test how can this department respond better, especially for children with hearing problems. I think I identified it earlier. If you could get a child within the first 6 months of birth, identify that they've got a hearing problem, you could actually get it to perform as well as a child not affected. But immediately after 6 months, the ability goes down really tremendously. And so this amount of money is for the cognitive center, for some of the cognitive transplants, but then also primary care level. How do I identify accurate children early, and what is the referral system to get hearing aids to make sure that they're properly cared for? So this is what this project is about. And that is kind of distributed across the districts as indicated there. In the short to say paper one now. Also, how do we led itself to have silos, to be just not really connected, that the culture should be more endearing, that people should feel more recognized and respected. But also make sure that, that we don't have duplication of certain services, certain activities, and make sure that if we can make sure that decisions are taken as close as possible to the So we've reached the point now of saying that the architecture of the department needs to change, and we're in the process of putting that in place. And then alongside that also the facilities. So the main focus is to look at how the department is more resilient, given the shocks that come our way, but in such a way that at the moment we focus on the backend component to make sure that that is as efficient as possible. What can we release from that to be able to support the rest of the
The last 254, I just need to know the total departmental plans for the public entities is a 50.58% increase. And it is really important to know that the department of all its financial challenges is still increased their transfers. Can you please please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the Honourable Member looked at the whole column that leads to that 50%. The Honourable Member would notice that the higher percentage, 100.5%, is the government. So that has been the largest contributor of the contribution of the fund to transfer the money then to NGOs. So that is the largest contributor there. There are others as well, but they are all actually HIV AIDS and TB, and that is from that AIDS Commission grant where we shifted more money to the NGOs to work with us in that regard. So that is the 50.5% is a sharp observation for our own members, because that shows that as the part that we work with partners in terms of our mandate.
Just to put that up in that one, your NGOs and which you work with in the department of health, can you, as a department, give us the satisfaction that the NGOs are really doing what they're supposed to do? Do you have your MNE in place? I'm asking this forward. Because I am coming from a community called Austin. And that facility in Austin was nearly closed. That is working with this department very, very closely because of mismanagement. Now, for a long period, there was complaints coming from that. From that facility, and I was watching it with a very close eye. And it was nearly at the upper collapse, which was a facility that those communities, not only Austin, but surrounding the area, is using on a daily basis. That's why I'm asking this question. Are you sure that your MEP is in place? Are you sure that the NGO is doing what they're supposed to do? That you are working with. That's just one example I'm giving you. There's lots and lots more. So I need to get that commitment from the department. And the money going to the NGOs are really useful what they're given to you, and that your energy systems are in place to make sure that the services that is rendered through that NGO is really rendered.
So our relationship with the NGOs is based on a formal mechanism, formal agreement, and for them to be able to access funding from the department, they have to put in, to bid to be part of the funding system in the department. And that very process, you look at governance mechanisms, you look at the control measures, you look at the range of actually abnormal. Therefore, our department's side on a quarterly basis, we're
visit those facilities and other NGOs to make sure that they do comply, and also furthermore, if there are any of that, we would respond immediately. We do have a very limited approach. It might be that something happens and we need to support the NGO for a while in terms of their larger governments, but we allow non-negotiable in terms of if they have care that they have to do that is a non-negotiable agreement.
Thank you, Susan. I think it's a vital question to have to deal with in the context of where the NGO world finds itself. So what has happened when we talk about the financial difficulty that we face here, NGOs themselves are, in terms of their sources of funding other than ourselves, facing a difficult situation of actually getting what would be called core costs as opposed to the operating costs that we're using things for. And against the backdrop, when you talk about governance, which is the key issue that you're asking, that you are requiring at that level of each NGO organization quite sound governance principles in place. So this is a risk area, and our supply chain colleague has helped us with what's called a finance instruction, which we've refined over the years to be able to say that if there is a risk, do we detect it early enough? What is our detecting mechanism? So as with Ingrid indicates, one of the key technical issues is governance sound? Is there a structure? Do we know the people here? Are they IDs to your system? Are they credible people? Is there minutes of their meetings, their board meetings? Are the kind of decisions they take in the best interest of the organization? And do they assign sound financial controls and oversight? And that last one is probably the biggest risk. Because in there, some of them are such small organizations, they can't afford proper auditing firms, and they have to get a bookkeeper to come in and check the auditors. So in that field, we are very cognizant that this is a very risky field. And you're right, over the years, we've picked up difficulties. We've picked up whistleblowers who come to us and say that there's a problem with this organization to be investigated. We've picked up these organizations where there are complaints that they have to follow through. So it's a constant vigilance exercise that we require from our side. Obviously, we encourage any member of the community that has any concerns about any specific organization that they give that to us and we will investigate accordingly. It's objective. We go in and make sure that we put due diligence to it. And there are examples where organizations, and we have this, it's almost like a robot system. So before you can allocate money and sign it off, because we're going through that process now, you have to say, are everybody's accounts everything in place? And we have this green, orange, red system. And where if we find this is a red flag, we have moved towards discontinuing funding, redirecting people from this area, and where need be, institute criminal charges against organizations where control is all in place and people have misdirected the money in terms of what happened.
Question is how many complaints were reported to the
then, Madam Chair, the question on the number of complaints in the primary hospital, is this all in the program two digital services? I don't know what the figures were in there, Madam Chair, but we can make available how we deal with our complaints and complaints and get that understood. That's great.
All our staff in this to talk you through some of the issues as well.
sorry, there's another question to you, but that was a question I asked. So at the moment, part of the problem with the party is that at the moment we probably have about 40 staff that have been pulled off directly as a result of trauma, experiencing trauma, on attacks on ambulances. So obviously it does impact on our staffing numbers, but the service has been rendered with overtime. So in fact, we've been able to continue the service despite the family reduction in numbers. So not that we're reducing action on staff, it's just that staff have been sick because of the attacks on the personnel. So it's quite a challenge for us to achieve, and it's a societal ill that over the last couple of years we've in fact seen an increase in the number of attacks on our EMS personnel. And as I said, more recently, in fact, other emergency personnel have also come under the fire.
Mm-hmm.
on the answer that I've got, we just want to find out, we know that these personnel went through trauma, and were they assisted by the department, and after assisting and assisting, put them off, or what made the department to come to a decision to put off the staff that we know that went through trauma. So I'm just interested in the assistance that they were given by the department, and to what extent did the department come to the conclusion of putting this staff off.
So we provide trauma counseling and support immediately after the attack, immediately. And then there's a 6 counseling sessions which can be extended for free for staff members, where we then give them counseling and support on top of how does that feel strong and safe to come back into the services. So it does not give staff members got the same response to those realities. Some of them are differently affected. Women are particularly challenged because there's also a sexual harassment component very often to these things. So it depends on the staff member and their ability and how they feel to come back in service. So we are putting this staff off just because we're really part of a journey with these patients, with these partners, so that they feel strong enough to come back. We also celebrate those staff members that do come back. We recognize them for coming back into the service. And this impact on the whole emergency staff confidence and effort to come in any case is not only emergency medical service, other emergency service are experiencing the same. The impact of the whole emergency cadre that has led to the court making such a drastic decision on when they give the judgment on the front list.
This comes back to the earlier morning question on the taking care of the caregiver. And I hear Dr. Karim say 40 emergency staff personnel is now off duty, and there are those then that stand in that work over time. So how does the department then take care of them, those that they have to put in the extra? And how is that, is it different from the other medical personnel, and how different is it then for them, in your opinion?
Yes, it's very clear. Last year, during our crisis, I had a position. And now I'm a person who says that the budget has declined on personal instances. If we take EMS seriously in this department, I think we must be proactive and not be reactionary in our budget. Because this budget must also give us the satisfaction that the service will continue. It must also give us the satisfaction that the staff is content. Now the EMS problem did not arise today. It did not
view that this is an understaffed, a department that is understaffed with female. So I don't know if the reality can deal with this. Because if we're going to decline every time in that budget, it means at the end of the day, the service that we're supposed to render to the community, which are the EMS, is going to give us zero revenue. People will die. Now we are sitting with an understaffed department because it was underbudgeted for many years. Now we are having a more serious problem because now they're more understaffed because of what has happened with this department. So when we budget, we must be proactively budgeted. We can still continue within this budget when we go to pension transfer. It's not only under personnel that it has an impact. It's if you continue on page 242, when you go to pension transfer, it's also a crime. So what you are saying at this department to the community of the Western Cape, your safety is not important for us. EMS is about the safety of the community when it comes to transfer of whatever, all of us don't want to be. So I'm disappointed in this budget when it comes to EMS. Thank you.
Of the service delivery.
You said about poor education points, we should manage to consolidate. Because it used to be where in one place, you might have a pickup point. I'm sure about those patients who have been picked up by the COVID, the minibus going for their checkup. You get someone who has to pick up under the tree, the other one somewhere around that. So what you have done is to consolidate where, because of the safety, some now might be combined and picked up in one place, be it in a clinic, be it in the reception of a hotel, or we had to open maybe a clinic or a church, so we have reduced those. Hence the reduction in terms of the pickup point. For the others, there are too many, but they are unsafe because we pick up under the tree, which is really unsafe. So hence there's been the reduction around that. But we are still working on some other areas where it's difficult to have a continuity. But currently, like people from the level low, people from the craft hotel, the people from, but most of these farm areas, because they are not being eaten from home, because they cannot be eaten, especially for those like craft hotel, they live way and so pick up them from home. While consolidating others, we might have more reductions after, of course, because I know in Santana, in the Hope Field side, we have been, the Hope Field side, we have been staying at St. George, the Union Field, Ireland side, we are still consolidating those where there might be some reductions.
Just to also indicate that the question was the support that we give to staff is the support to the medical staff and the nursing staff. And I think the point that the nurse also makes is that there's pressure and safety concerns in all our services, in our psychiatric services particularly. And so the type of support that they provide is from staff, and that is a generally available support that we do, that we do provide. We just take an additional because in this staff are so exposed in our service and they are kind of vulnerable because they are vehicle and going into space. So that has been the testimony of coming from that to them. But I would just like to point out the question that is asked about the budget. If one looks at where we had visit cuts, EMS was reduced by 1%, which is not the highest it's been, but it is still a reduction and we recognize that. We do have staff that do return overtime, and one of the approaches we have is that it is possible for a work overtime to full-time staff. That might have helped us with the number. That's also one aspect. The other aspect, Madam Chair, and just also indicated, is that it's a societal issue where there's no respect for emergency services, whatever form it is. And how do we change that? What needs the society and our community to have that approach? So together with community safety and education, identify key hotspot areas. So that it is possible for us to have different attention in those key hotspot areas to make sure that whatever services there are rendered more safely. It might be that our ambulance is being dispatched to a school or to another safe setting like a police station and not directly to people's homes. Because very often that is where they want to go and they stop and get out of the car. Very often such as the country then until they reach the home and then leave and they're not actually vulnerable. So there are other approaches that they're also following. But I would like to come back to the point that you made about the home society approach. And particularly in Mannenberg and Mannenberg Park, one of the critical aspects there is can we use the philosophy of violence prevention urban upgrading? Is that the philosophy that can give us a yield in terms of the circumstances that give rise to violence, that give rise to the call-outs that philosophy work? That's the one aspect. The other one is to strengthen our chronic condition management that we don't go and decompensate after hours. We need to strengthen the head program care, we need to strengthen our ability to prevent violence from happening. So these are all aspects when we make budget choices, where do we put them? In terms of the reduction to make a decision, do we do inter-hospital transport, which is for 40% of all transport, do we do that to take on community health centers to the hospital with an ambulance or an ambulance vehicle? And what the team has looked at is to say that perhaps better to use an ambulance than an ambulance vehicle. And that might say more an integrated approach to inter-hospital transport that resulted in this figure that was provided. That's correct. Anything to say?
Yes, maybe just for the scheduling to start. So we do have a very active wellness program in the ES. So obviously it takes care of our staff and staff in the ES. That's in addition to what the department already has. So, and obviously we take care in terms of looking to staff have been supervised and obviously counseling as well as the community as well. So this is quite right. Also, we currently have 227 now for pickup points. And we're going through a very active process of engaging with the communities, directly with engaging with communities around where the safest place will be to pick them up. I noticed locally, when we gave this example from our Bodan constituency, so for example, there we've got the base, and we've got Moidaka and Naldos. Those are the specific pickup points for that community. So the process of engaging with the community there around what would be appropriate and safe. Pick up for the public. We don't want people standing there 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, shopping, you know, security. And so we've gone through the whole province, and the Minister of Asia is playing an active role in supporting our process, engaging with communities directly and understanding where the safest pick up for the public would be. And I've got a long list of each and every one of us going to receive the basis. And then last to add, as actually commented, also we've got a very active project with DOCS and the active involvement of humans in the transport management sector. It's quite an active, it's quite a good project. And between the two HSBs and negotiated, and in fact, that means this inside the teams. So the moment there's violence in any area of the province, our meeting staff are immediately alerted and we can respond effectively together with staff and all the other emergency personnel. And that worked very well. The minister also visited there some time ago, some months ago already. This is to also publicize and encourage the cooperation between the two respective departments. So thanks to the minister and the HSBs for playing a very active role in all of these projects.
Experience the role as a single cause, the effect of the single cause, we can just get it and update our position.
Thank you.
Work as a freely indicated, they are
really considered. One of the challenges is project management and the capacity to do that properly. And we do believe that we are trying to help to see whether that would have changed the way we deliver on our projects. And we have one at the current task meeting yesterday, and the feedback is positive, and it does appear that they were able to make some of the differences we would like to see. What we also do is that in the framework agreements, was an earlier question, framework agreements that we have with organizations will help us to implement things far faster. And we have seen much better progress, much better delivery in that space. So there's a few strategies that we are going in that space at the moment.
Yes, I'm not sure if I'm
on May 11, in the ACP book, the mission of the department, I think first of all, they could advocate themselves we need to just the oversight role of the standing committee of this house. In 2015, we lodged a formal complaint about the Hospital Board Act project. And the standing committee was going to bring us back in 2016. That has never happened, and in 2018 the legislation has been passed. And we are the structure that is very unhappy with submitting names. The department in 2016 agreed through the District House Council that it will give almost like status to the current our, to take cognizance of the fact that we submit our complaints, we come to the standing committee, and then just nothing happens. So in 2017, when we thought we were going to be brought back for a formal discussion between the portfolio committee and the department and the community, that has never materialized. So I think that we would just like to state on record as a structure. So on page 11, the mission statement, we undertake to provide equitable access to quality health services in partnership with relevant stakeholders within a balanced and well-managed health system. So our question on the mission statement is the relevant stakeholders. Because for years the Cape Metro was sort of a relevant stakeholder. And there was almost like good governance of ensuring accountability. And that has faded over the years. So when it comes to relevant partnerships, even the putting together of this document, who were the stakeholders that was a community partner in ensuring that what's in this book has been to the community in partnership with the department. Then on page 12, the HOD speaks of the whole of society approach. And I think I want to congratulate the minister because she has tried very hard to ensure that we are part of our oversight visit. But that is only her part of it, and the role of the department in that. And I think a lot of things have happened within the department because of the absence of the community voice and the active participation of the community in ensuring equitable service delivery. Then on page 12, outcome 2.3, basic coverage of four ICT systems. We still have to be controlled. We still have people that are needing to wait because their files have gone missing and the lack of communication in that process. But if there's a rollout and we can say it works, why at some of our health facilities, like yesterday at Kruisfontein, the woman has been, and yesterday was Tuesday, so she's been sitting since Monday at Kruisfontein because the file has gone missing and nobody has communicated. So what do we do about that? Then on page 30, service priorities and the community orientated primary health care approach. The referral pathway. I know the minister, we had a discussion in 2016 with regards to Zelf no longer referring to Eastern River because of the burden of Eastern River. Has anything happened with that regard? Is the referral pathway related to cyber or to Problema, or is that burden still placed on Eastern River? And then the first 1,000 days that the ministers implemented and all of that, how do we as communities know that there is success in that? And if there is a report, how do communities access that report? Then on page 19, the data set that is used in this graph is back between 2014 and 2018. So the community would like to know between 2015 and 2017, is there not a new data set? And if there is a new data set, how does the community access the data set? Because we are quite aware of the deaths due to children under 5, as well as the burden of disease that is placed on children due to neglect in our hospital, in our community, sorry. Then on page 21, the pilot project that is at the Cold River Mortuary. we also aware that the community-based services project, the integration of the service means that the caregiver that goes into a home, the primary focus will not be on a child under five. The primary focus will be on a bed resident patient. So if there's a household with children that are at risk, will our community-based service providers pick that up? And I think I want to relate that to the paragraph on the injuries and the pilot project. So is there a report and how will community be able to access the report? Then on page 27, we have public health personnel. I don't see that we have included clinical psychologists. So at our primary health care facilities, we have a major problem that the psychiatrists or the psychologists wouldn't always be available. But if we could possibly, with a burden of such interviews on our facilities, the clinical psychologists make a huge impact. And we've seen that with Bishop Labour and the role that UWC's Department of Psychology has played in transforming that community. So that would be just, do we have clinical psychologists? And if we do have them, how many do we have? Then on page 30, employee wellness. I think for me the importance around what I've seen happening over the past year in the department, and especially with regards to our nurses. So with wellness goes how I'm dressed, how I'm managed, and how I'm taken care of. So I would like to know from the department with the wellness and all of that. Is there uniform allowance for nurses? Is there anything in place? Because we had the delay incident last year. So do we have anything in place that protects a nurse that is not, according to the manager of our grade, not fired, but that there's an intervention? Because we have a scarce few nurse fired at our member because of the delay. And I do see the nurses in all the hospitals still being delayed, even if they're not managers. And then on page 33, the IU Clinic Realization and Maintenance Program. So the concern that we have as a structure, the IU Clinic also speaks to a clinic committee. So if the legislation is only passed now, and there's already IU clinics identified, all the clinic committees at those IU clinics recognized. And if they are, what criteria have been used? On page 36, the department has, under non-profit organization, I think as a structure we would like to know the total number of NGOs delivering a service on behalf of the department in our community. On page 60, in the first column of the table B12, number 7, the TB treatment success rate. For the test metro, we're still standing on 81.8. And I think year after year, our question is the same. So we have a missing treatment rate of 18.2. How are we going to close the gap, and when will we close the gap? And then I'm almost done. On page 234, the HOD said that the 10 million was paid through the Children's Hospital Trust at Red Cross for a capital program. So it raises the concern that is the hospital, was the hospital trust responsible for that project, or was it the project that the department was supposed to take responsibility for? Then page 239. Under nutrition, we're glad to see that at least nutrition gets quite a fair number of amount of money. Our concern would still be the obesity of our children, especially in school, and also our underfed children that end up in hospital. So do we have enough dietitians if we have the budget that is allocated there? Then page 242, with regards to the MS server, the public-private partnership. So if we had 40 EMS personnel or sick, what is the contingency plan with regards to that? And then service demand versus service delivery. We had an incident in Belmar the other day where the ambulance was called at 10:20. At 6:30 the evening, the patient was still not transported by an ambulance. The patient died. I'm not saying the patient died because the ambulance didn't reach, but what if we have PPPs? Can we not maybe partner around that issue? Then my last one is on page 250. And strategic goal as per strategic plan, embedded good governance and value-driven leadership practices. Now I've seen the 2030 plan, and I do think that good governance needs to play out at all levels, and also the core value system of the department needs to be embedded in all leaders at all levels. And I've seen, and especially in our nursing profession, is when nurse managers take advantage of lower grade nursing staff. So how, if this is a goal, how will we ensure that at all levels we have that core value that speaks about the image of the department? Thank you for the opportunity.
Can you just put your mic, please? And then the lady at the back there, also indicated.
Okay, thank you. Can you hear me? Okay. My name is Papa Jonathan. I'm from the Global South Forum, as I said. I'm also a member of the Southern Subsidiary Council and the Federal Propolitan Council. I wasn't going to say anything, but listening to the discussion today, I think, there's such a thing such as the social determinants of health, and we all know that, and currently everything else in the party connected. So yesterday that all these different government departments, the learned people of these departments are not speaking to one another. Now, it's actually not shocking why we are in the situation that we are in the health sector. And the treatments at our healthcare facilities are mostly curative and not preventative. Your preventative services are very few. And we definitely need some type of intervention when it comes to chronic illness, and I agree with that. And we need to change the way we treat, especially as Dr. Fuchi said, diabetes. For a small facility like ours in Global South, we're going to be in the red at the end of the financial year, according to the manager. And the reason is eye care services. More people need eye glasses. And the reason? The chronic patients are diabetic. There's a definite increase, and for the first time in I don't know how long, our little facility is going to be in the red because of that one little service. So something needs to be changed there. Complaints at facility level is not done, dealt with adequately, unfortunately. There is no jointly, patients say are not happy with the way it's dealt with, even if you escalate substructure, no joy there at all. So something needs to be done, especially when it comes to disputes regarding staff behavior and staff etiquette. So we need to look at that. And then, in general, we then have another community engagement on the 24th of March, our substructure. So we lodge complaints there, we make presentations, and very little is actually done between that one and the next community engagement, because if you look at it, the complaint is, especially our clinic, where the staff, the whole NDHS staff was sent, because it was a new facility, so all of them were sent for eye care workshops. But I can tell you, I don't know how much money was spent for that. I think it was a waste, because when they came back, the ones that were complaining about, it's still a matter of I don't care. So things need to be looked at that level as well. Thank you.
I'm Chip Carrara from Western, that is another wonderful. My content is about the clinic that gets introduced first. Worcester now, since that is going to be closed. I look at the district capacity. My question is, the department think that as the community that is expanding, is that clinic district is going to accommodate all that area from Woodstock up to Cape Town district six, if the hospital in Woodstock is going to be closed, totally closed. Second one, in terms of security. As we know, the area we call it Cape Flair, there's a lot of Cape Flair. We talk about safety, even of our official security, conventional or private companies who are looking after our facilities. What guarantee that the department care? Because hence the care comes, our securities are like Chinese with big galaxy, they have only sticks. Those are our brothers and sisters who are standing into those facilities and watching. Thirdly, in terms of monitoring, because I had doctor was talking about NGOs or NPOs. The facilities that we've been complaining that belong to the city of Cape Town, who are run by NGOs, having our senior citizens that are staying to those facilities, whereby we find that there's no doctors in charge into that facility, there's no professional nurse or emergency that is into the same facilities, whereby even last year there was a plane, the place then it was on fire in a place called Zone 17 in London, where there was a patient or there was a tenant who was sitting there, passed away, and they could get even the relative or people who are in charge of that person, where we've been putting complaints, and then we find out just talking to the department that doesn't have yet. I think
thank you very much. Policy, the people
then we omit the other people who neutralize that from the So it's an issue of about the equity as according to the universal outcome of recognition, and also according to the fundamental care. As we see here, you see the NCP weighs about the one point of concentration according to the ALMA, which the South African Statistics Hub framework system adopted. It says that we are not adopting continuous involvement because it becomes the hit and run of a task or a project. Whatever concentration where it's about it. Also, they take ownership not only in terms of the government of the country, but of their house to influence the community surrounded by that in terms of the issues of the wellness. Hence, within the Act, if you talk about the need to also create to conduct some demonstration of making reports on the quality matters from the facility and also share it within the organization. So I think once you have established this, they might be able to I do political and activity committees. That's why I was getting the slow speaker, because we don't have. So the question was about what are the ideas do we need to have recurring committees, what are the, how they're being recognized or whatever. So it was one of those meetings that we closed, because the ones that we had, for example, the control the mental health forum, it's not established to such a level, because it's not expected, but also even if they volunteer, the requirements about where they must be the minutes, they must be the whatever, and all of those. So that's why we are getting, in not only the ideas, but also part of the standards, Office of the Health Standards, the standards that they have access. So the reason you might get in PC or you might get in all other domains, so above the means, any and then they'll say, in terms of the leadership and government, specific in terms of the community involvement, you don't get much. For example, so it's work in progress, we're doing that. That's why I'm excited, I love that, to make the point that we do the nominations as soon as possible, and then we do the appointments, and then kickstart in terms of the capacity building, and we do all of those kinds of things. All over, we have teachers indicated that. Maybe easier for me to come to that I don't go for all 4 hours and 7 weeks, 15 minutes or whatever. You can go to the people are there 24 hours. Which in terms of the socialization, as you know, the health system in the Western Cape, people are healthy, going to more of the concentration with some pockets in terms of the intersectoral collaboration around concentration, which has been happening. It would have been happening in Delta for a long time, it's been happening in Anupapa for a long time, but it might not be happening maybe, let's say, in Ocean View, or just making an example out of this group. So that's why we have a team of committees in terms of intersectoral collaboration. I think we can respond on the TVs and the NGOs, the children's, the Red Cross, the nutrition, the EMS, the 41, the water center, and the others, the issue of the good government. As I always say that, when you're a health professional, be it you're a doctor, you're a nurse, you're a you come along into the health system after you have undergone training, where to prepare you with the knowledge, which is a cognitive aspect, which is that I just call it things related to the head. It will prepare you with the matters related to the skills, gross motor skills, and all those expertise, which is where you can use your head, which is what it's supposed to be. When it comes to the matters of the heart, knowing myself as a former academic, it's difficult because in terms of the teaching or learning methodology, it becomes subjective when you have to assess the learner on the part of the APEC, which is the intersectional school. Because if you are going to evaluate, it might be a role-play thing, model CC and then they use whatever school. Therefore, you rely on the patient's satisfaction in terms of reporting in the real life. So when you appoint people in a real life now when they're working, it might be where their expectations are according to the qualification and the health professional standards or the nursing council and whatever. So the person is supposed to understand that part because it's a caring profession. And yet in cases where you don't even know where the person is coming from, whether it comes from Mars or it's not from the Earth in terms of when you hear this story. But only when we get the specifics that Sister Momo did this, and then you can be able to make Sister Momo a part. When we do generalizations, we know that it takes us back to then a word for it. So when you get into generalization, it's difficult to go to the other staff and say, hey, you, racist, and blah, 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 but when he says that, this is what I said. Immediately, the person becomes easy to respond. And the issue of the complaint, the quality is 25 days turnaround in terms of the response. Others, when it's an emergency case, the response might be immediately. It might be within 2 or 3 days where we acknowledge your repeated citizen, or repeated to the committee, to the report, but we get back to you. they are using and managing this campaign. There are those that come from us, from the ministry, and then we send it to the department so they combine all of those. Plus also the ones that are related to the hotline, the people they use the to call or OECs, whatever. So they know, and that's why we say that probably we can ask, actually I'm not sure which one was asking about how we deal with the complaints. There was a time that we presented, so I'm aware of that, so we can also look in terms of that for such, but it's what we tried, before, starting from when you enter the gate of the college, everyone needs to demonstrate our values, the character, the accountability, the integrity, the respect, and all of this. It needs to be demonstrated not only when you go to the consulting room, but from the gate to the cleaner, everywhere. Hence, we have the care club for the professional nurses and all of this. For the whole other thing. For the first stop, again, as I indicated, that it becomes difficult to respond to some things that are general. That's why I indicated that I prefer, for example, if I say I'm going to build a stop, rather than you call me or we have a meeting somewhere in the northern or whatever, in the office, whatever, there, and then raise this issue. Because we are raising it on behalf of those, and I'd rather go there and then stand there on the street and then people come so that they can say, can you show me this? I told you that this clinic is gated, whatever. Come, let me show you. Instead of there in the wall, I don't like walls. I prefer open air there with the people, because we are saying that nothing about us without us. I cannot be now we have a board meeting. Call us. Call me. We'll be there. And then bring all those people exercising. The where they can place themselves during that time. So it becomes difficult when we're going to talk about us that the complaints are not managed. If we really haven't received any complaints before, they're not managed properly, the activity is not managed properly. Also about the eye care workshop where you are waste of time, because we don't know what evidence that informs that. But we say, I think we're sent for eye care, they still have got a lot of attitudes and all of those, but where? Show up, but we know this is better, but it is difficult. I know for myself, if you work, you put more than 120% of your time working, sweating, and all of those, and then are very comfortable politician, or even the call from the HOD or any management, say that, you, there's a complaint about social media. You didn't do X, Y, Z, and then found that actually, did these people come? Don't they see our working? I mean, demoralize. So that's why it's better when something happens during that time, and also bring the evidence. And yeah, you know, also if the name attached, also you mentioned a certain end of the number, they are also have got right when it comes to the basic conditions of the flooding. So it's not just having a certain out of the blue. I think the issue of the 66 women accommodate or not, without looking at the web, in terms of I know when you are on the ground, when you look at things, how they work, sometimes you don't understand how the people there are planned. Because when I was looking in terms of the web, in terms of how many have from the whenever we are combining also in the city of Cape Town Clinic, with our county comparing the south and the west, and for example the other, to find that it's not whatever the problematic when it comes to the numbers, but that the population and the disease profile, for example, for the western. But I think it's about probably the future is for the people who used to have a visa to go to the east of CDC, compared now to go to St. Monica.
aspect, but the fact that the questions are raised at this level is symptomatic of the fact that our community engagement mechanisms are not yet in place. And as the minister has indicated, a clear commitment will be led to a clinic, and that is where these conversations will take place. There are houses to be boards leading the hospitals, and then the district health council can pick up all of those voices in the district health council and form the district health plan, and the district health plan directly forms the ADP. So I think we're getting there to allow the members to have another place with the team to engage with the department. The minister has covered the issue of complaints and where and how to raise complaints. It's difficult at this stage, which is general, but it's very clear how those should raise. But we respect the honour that we have from the members. I would just like to touch on a few aspects which I think might be useful. The aspect that patients work for folders, it is an aspect that they are aware of, because the manager can speak for a long time on everything we're trying to do to improve the situation. One of the aspects is that there are a lack of clarity of how long you keep a folder in the facility, and that has led to folders just piling up, and they might be inactive, but there's a lack of authority clarity, can you then actually dispose of the file? So we've got those strategies now in place, and that will help us to clean up and make sure that we don't have to worry about our folders, which is much better. Or we have seen that in some cases it's less than 1 minute to get the file due to the improvement process that we're putting in place. The minimal request on certain reports as whether the committee can have access to that, the one is 4,000 days, and the other one was the Salt River Watering Pilot. It talks about child death review. So those those reports can be made available and can be shared where appropriate, but clearly some, you know, one can look at making that available, at least the content and the findings of those. Then the issue of the clinical psychologist, if the person asked the question, just look at the exact same table. It gives us an 80 clinical psychologists or psychologists in the department, so that number is in that department in the table, and it gives us, it confirms also the importance of the category of staff as part of the team, the multi-professional team that works with us. The aspect of the ideal clinic and the clinic committee, the ideal clinic does have one of its standards, that there must be a clinic committee and it must be displayed in the clinics. So whilst our ideal clinic is kind of a developmental approach, we're not yet at the full implementation, the legislation that came to being now will help us to solve that problem. Up till now, because there's no national legislation on clinic committees, there's no sign-off guidelines on clinic committees. Country. So we're the only province with this kind of clarity we are working on. So where there are existing people who function in the form of the community, that's recognized for the purposes of that, but clearly going forward, we would like to recognize it with, further legislation. The total number of NGOs, we've got 19 NGOs that are working with us, and that information is also available. Then the issue of the TB chloride, it is an area that we work on. So the target is 85% and not 100% as the question was. It's not 85%, but how do we close the gap? And that is one of the things that we are grappling with. And we realize that unless we get partnership with other communities to work with us, this will remain an evading target that we are looking at. There was a question about the Child Health Trust, Children's Health Trust project. Whose responsibility is it? Now, clearly, we collectively identify the priorities and look at the sources of funding. I think the Children's Hospital Trust can then contribute. They contribute with me. So this is a collective prioritization process that we work together on. There was a question about nutrition and the doctor's report. That is a particular concern. The child's length, the length of a child at 2 years, how that compares where the child is expected to be at 2 years of age. That is a fundamental determinant of that child's development. And we do find in some places the child is stunted or the child is obese. And that is a particular point that we are focusing on in the department. In the issue of
country or to work with the private sector. Clearly, we have collaborations with the private sector already in terms of our sponsors, so it is not new. I think Jefferson, that covers largely the ministers having talked about that. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister. Thank you, Jim. All the questions that was offered was asked was now responded to, right? Councillor Houston, your questions were responded to. In terms of the question that was or the concern that was raised to the committee, I just have to go back as the chair to go and look at that minute and the recording, so I will respond back to you with regards to the committee not inviting you back, as you were saying, if that is okay. So I will respond back to you. I've got your contact detail there. Then, Minister, especially, thank you very much for being available for this appropriation and the interrogation by the members and the probing questions that were asked, but also the participation of the members of the public that are here representing communities out there, and for your participation in this session. The session has been 40 minutes over the time that was scheduled, but I think it was necessary that you were given the opportunity to pose questions that you had and to have raised concerns that you have. But I want to ask that do not take too long if you have a concern or when you see something happen. Please respond to it immediately. Don't wait for too long before you get a response for something that you see happening now and you know that it's not supposed to happen like that. But by the same token, I want to say that where the department does well, please indicate that too. That it's not all not going well. There are many examples of where they are doing well, so please convey that as well. At this juncture, I want to say thank you very much, and thank you to you. And we're in the members' lounge. Lunch are served for everybody in this chamber. Lunch are served, and you may proceed to the members' lounge. Members, you must just stay behind so that we can just conclude the administrative staff pertaining to this committee. So thank you very much, and drive safe.
Thank you.